an assortment of readings from Habakkuk. We start with Habakkuk 1, verse 2 to 7. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch them and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honour. And then we go to Habakkuk 1, 12 to 13. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? And then we go to Habakkuk 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation that awaits an appointed time, it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, for it will certainly come and will not delay. Amen.
We're going to take a break from our series on the prophets. But for now, we come to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk's a really interesting book, and it contains one of my favourite verses in the Bible, but we'll come to that at the end. We don't know much about him. He was a prophet serving in the temple, possibly a contemporary of Jeremiah and Nahum. But this book, at least the first two chapters, is really a record of his conversation with God. And it goes like this. God, I've been praying and crying out to you, but you're not listening. Why aren't you answering me? You ever felt like that? We said God is powerful. We read from Luke that he will answer prayer. I can't be the only one who looks at that prayer box we pray every week and thinks, why is this getting longer instead of shorter? So much sickness. So much sin, violence, evil, injustice. And we pray and we pray and nothing seems to happen. Some time ago, I think it was back in COVID times or shortly after, those of us on the Wednesday night Bible studies did the prayer course. You remember that? Yeah. It was about how to pray, how to connect with God in that deep way, how to build prayer into our daily routines. And that's all great. I think as a prophet in the temple, Habakkuk probably knew it. There was nothing wrong with his relationship with God. There was nothing wrong with his faith. There's a second prayer course, which I'm happy to do with you if anyone's interested. Come and see me after. It's called the Unanswered Prayer Course. Because there are times when it seems like our prayers are not answered. But one of the first things he says in this is that struggling with unanswered prayer is a sign of faith. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in his love, his goodness, his justice, unanswered prayer isn't a problem, is it? Of course you think prayer isn't going to do anything. Shrug your shoulders and move on. But it's when you know that God does love us, that he is good, that he does want peace and justice to reign, then unanswered prayer is a problem, a challenge. Then it makes sense to say, why, God? Then it makes sense to say, where are you when all this bad stuff is happening? And Habakkuk had that experience. But eventually, as we saw, God does respond. Unfortunately, his response to Habakkuk makes things even worse. Because while Habakkuk complains about the violence, injustice, ungodliness in Israel, amongst God's people, God responds that he will do something about it, he will judge the wickedness in Israel, he will punish them, but he'll do that by sending an invading army from Babylon. It doesn't take much reading of the Bible to know Babylon is not a good place. It's pretty much used in the New Testament as a synonym for all the evil empires in the world. Habakkuk was concerned about violence and injustice in Israel. Well, the Babylonians were much worse. So our prophet is left with another problem. How can God use an even more evil nation to judge a less evil one? He had his answer to prayer. God was going to intervene in Israel, but he wasn't going to do it in the way Habakkuk wanted. It didn't fit with what Habakkuk thought God should do or who he thought God was. How often do we do that when we pray? To ask God for help while knowing what we think the answer should look like. Or even if we don't know exactly, we know what it shouldn't look like. For Habakkuk, and probably for us too, it certainly shouldn't look like the enemy winning, should it? So the first thing we learn from Habakkuk is that God's answer to prayer might not look the way we think it should look. The second thing we learn is that we need to have patience and leave the timing up to God. God has a bigger picture in mind. Babylon in turn will be judged, as all evil must be judged. God, as we've heard repeatedly through the prophets, is sovereign over all nations. While Habakkuk's been praying and thinking that God's ignoring him, God's already been at work in Babylon, building up this army. He still has plans beyond that. It's happening somewhere else. Habakkuk can't see it, but God is preparing his answer. I wonder if some of our prayers that seem to be going unanswered are actually things that God is working on behind the scenes. We just can't see it. But we get those verses of encouragement and hope. The revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. In our prayer lives, how is our patience? How is our perseverance to keep praying when nothing seems to be happening? How is our faith when we don't see the results or when the answer is not what we wanted? What do we do when God's plan is incomprehensible to us? Here's where trust comes in, isn't it? Trust not just in the answer to prayer, but in the God we call on. Life as a Christian isn't about waving a magic wand and getting everything we want, but about who we're asking. Faith in the character of God, his goodness, his love, his goodwill, plans and purposes. We're going to watch a short video now. It's an interview taken from the Unanswered Prayer Course about one man's personal journey with that question. We have our video, please.
Years ago, I suffered an injury to my voice. At the time, I was a pastor and a worship leader. And since that time, crisis. God, how can I be loving you, serving you, giving you my life, giving you my best, walking in obedience, walking in faith and love, pouring my life out for the gospel, and take a hit like this? I didn't have a theology for that. I found myself in the darkest place in my life. Nobody had any answers, and all I had was this. For 5 years or so, my prayer life was basically three words. I love you. I don't understand you, but I love you. Over and over, just giving him my love in the darkest place in my life. I've discovered it's the most powerful thing you can do.
Bob, your story is just extraordinarily moving, and I know that speaking is very costly for you, so we really, truly appreciate you joining us now. You said that for 5 years, your prayer life was basically three words: I love you. I don't understand you, but I love you. I'm guessing that some people watching this will find that difficult. But how do we do that? How do we keep loving and trusting God when we feel like he's let us down?
We believe in the goodness of God. That's what faith is. Faith says, even though I don't understand you right now, God, I love you, I believe you, I believe that your heart for me is good. So, like I said it to like this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't see your faithfulness in my life, but I'm going to come after you until I do. I don't see your goodness in my life, but I'm going to come after you until I do, because I believe you're a good God. I don't feel like you're being merciful to me right now, but I'm going to come after you until I see your mercy in my life, because I believe that you are a merciful God. And so even when my circumstances, I'm not experiencing goodness and mercy and faithfulness and kindness in the moment, at least it doesn't feel like that, even in those darker moments, I believe that he is a good, kind, merciful God. And so I pursue after him. And I think that's what God wants from us, Gemma. I think he wants us coming after him with all our heart, with all our soul, pursuing him.
Habakkuk 2 verse 4 says, tells us that the righteous will live by his faith. In that video we saw Bob Sorge's faith that enabled him to have life even in those times when God didn't seem to be answering his prayers. And the book of Habakkuk ends with a prayer or a psalm of praise to God. His presence and work in nature and in nations, his power to save. And it comes to my favourite verses, as I promised. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. When problems and doubts challenge and trouble us, when prayers seem to go unanswered and we can't understand what God is doing, it's okay to take that to God. It's okay to cry out, to complain, to lament. But as we seek God, as we praise God, as we hold on to the knowledge that he is good, though we cannot see his goodness, he is merciful, though we're not experiencing his mercy. As we respond to our trials in faith, we can encounter God in a way that transcends our circumstances, and we can rejoice in him. Let's pray. Lord, it's hard for us to understand when you don't answer our prayers. Like Habakkuk, we cry out against the injustice and violence and sin and sickness in the world and ask, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Help us by your Spirit to have confidence that you are listening. Open our eyes to see the ways that you are at work in the world and in our situations, even if it's not what we want or expect. And grant us the gift of faith that holds on to your promises and trusts and rejoices in you, whatever our circumstances. In the name of Jesus, who suffered and suffers alongside us for our salvation. Amen.